Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
2023, you guys, and I'm winging it. Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. That's the website, The Dork Forest, if you like a determiner. Dorkforest.com also works. JackieCation.com has all of my stand-up information. Like, it has videos, it has pictures, it has links to this podcast and to my other podcast with Lori Kilmartin. It has a merch store that has Dork Forest t-shirts. It has all of my stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs. So, that's what you know about websites. There's an opportunity, because we're in the new year here, that you can donate to the Dork Forest. I don't have a Patreon. I don't have anything really set up, though I understand you can set up on PayPal a monthly if you wanted to. You could donate and be of to support the show. This is the 17th season, the 17th year I've been putting this stuff out. It's free, but if you have money and would like to throw me some money, boy, howdy. There's a PayPal, there is at my email address, actually, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me and tell me how much you're enjoying the show. You can also do Venmo if you'd like, which is just Jackie Cation, no hyphen, all one word, picture of this person, me. And then I think that's it. I think I have Zelle, but it's too complicated. Other than that, let's do the credits. Patrick Brady, still in, fixing the audio all these years later. Give it up to Patrick Brady. That's what a lot of your donations support, by the way, because I like to share the wealth. And then Vilmos, he does the websites. And Mike Rickberg wrote and sang that song. Composed and sang that song with his wife now, Sarah. And at the end, he sings the Mexican Hat Dance, which is always fun. Anyway, I'm sure there's more to it. There's a band camp that has a bunch. It has like a stand-up storytelling album that was never released. It's there's also a bunch of live episodes that many of them are free. There were 200 episodes that were not pre-recorded, and I sort of culled through those, and I pulled like 17 of the best ones. There's an album collection of that, 17 hours of Dork Forest. If you run through all of the episodes, go to bandcamp.com, Dork Forest, or Google those words, and you'll find it. Anyway, there's probably more. I can't remember any of it, but you're doing great. Feel free to enjoy the show.
Oh my gosh, it's me, Jackie Cation. I'm in my garage, you guys. That's my closet. Huh? Come on. We got a garage with a closet. Very glamorous. In the Dork Forest, dork, is Caitlin Cook.
I don't know
why I did that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
New York comic, Broadway show, off-Broadway show.
Yes, off-Broadway.
Off-Broadway, but a solo show about your dorkdom. Which I think is so meta. It feels like we're going to get into it.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, what could I talk about for an hour that I would be really excited to talk about? And
it turns out it's that thing that you talk about for an hour.
It's the thing that I do my solo show about. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So we don't want to give away any of the jokes. We don't want to give away any of the pathos.
No.
We just want to, because there's got to be pathos.
Oh,
I've done solo shows. Oh, yeah. There's pathos.
Yeah, what's the cliche in for Edinburgh Fringe? Your dad dies at minute 45.
Yeah. Well, interesting. When my father dies, that's when I'll do Edinburgh.
There you go.
The crazy thing is that just made me sad. Okay, what? And but you know what? He's 86. It's not going to be a career cut tragically short. Mm. It's still going to be sad though.
Yes,
because he is my dad.
Yeah,
he is. But he is a piece of work. What? Back and forth, back and forth. Who cares? Caitlin Cook.
Yes,
you are doing a show about bathroom graffiti.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let's start just real quickly here. With regular graffiti.
Yes.
Well, first of all, if you go to at the Caitlin Cook, so TheCaitlinCook, mm-hmm. It's at the Caitlin Cook on all the things, including your website, thecaitlincook.com.
Yes.
So now we all know. Now, regular graffiti.
Yes.
I think it can be beautiful.
I do too. I actually wrote, I studied art history in undergrad.
Oh, wow.
And then archaeology for my master's. And so I ended up writing a lot of papers about graffiti.
Oh, wow.
It was around the time that like Banksy was blowing up, who's probably like the most famous graffiti artist, of like the, I guess the upper elite echelon. Yeah.
Right. Right. Because there's gotta be famous, like just some person, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of different kinds of graffiti. I mean, you have like gang sign graffiti and tagging. You have like artists doing murals. You have like, there's
is
a lot
that
of
considered
like
considered graffiti artists doing murals.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's so interesting about graffiti is like what it's writing on a wall, like what defines it.
Right.
And what I think is so intriguing about like Banksy and the way that he changed graffiti is like he hid his identity and he became so famous that people started like taking, like graffiti that he'd done off the walls and putting them in museums and selling them for a lot of money. But the thing about graffiti is it has this whole funny history with being illegal.
Yeah.
So an artist doing a mural would sometimes not be seen as graffiti because maybe someone commissioned them to do it.
Right.
But it's still writing on a wall. And then also now that Banksy has sort of changed the game for graffiti and people are putting it in museums, like they're commissioning it too. So is that still vandalism? Is it still graffiti? You know, it's got this whole interesting discourse.
Right. Because that's crazy. Because, okay, so I know the famous story in my family, because there's always one. Is that my young nephew, who actually did the original t-shirt design for the Dork Forest, the one with many things coming out of the Dork Forest. He is an artist and he is also, now he's like 30, and works, like he got in at some startup where they make maps, like map apps. Mm-hmm. So I believe he has a giant bag of money. I don't care. I'm glad he's living well in Oakland, California. Nice. But his name is Salmon. Wolf Patrick, Wolfgang, Bemol Benrud. So his mom said when he was born, he should be an artist because his name is Crazy Talk.
Yes.
And Salmon is spelled S-A-M-A-N. And he has always been kind of an art kid and kind of a, you know, whatever. But he, when he went to college, he did an uncommissioned piece of art on the water tower at St. Olaf.
Uh-huh.
He painted a giant whale because he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Well, and then he got in trouble and it cost him $2,000 to have somebody else paint over it. And he was like, well, I could paint over it. I have painting. And they're like, no, you shouldn't just paint things. And but it was a cool looking whale.
Yeah.
And it was a water tank. So I see why he might have done that. So
totally.
Yeah. So what do you did like various papers. This makes me want to know if you know anything about the history of writing on walls.
I do. It's literally like the oldest form of art that we really have.
Oh, right. Cave
paintings.
Okay.
So I talk about this a little in the show. Like you go back to, you know, 30,000 BCE and you have cave paintings and it's kind of sometimes similar stuff that we write today, you know, it's like guys with big dicks and like fertility goddesses with like big boobs and like people fighting each other and antelopes and
so it's really animals and body parts and fight
yeah
so
and
civilization
sex.
And sex and civilization works so slowly.
Yes.
It is amazing because that is 6,000 years old. I went to the cave paintings in the middle of France a couple of years ago, where you can't actually go and see the cave paintings. They have like a setup next door. They're like, they look just like this. This is what they look like. Why don't you give us $30 and then you can look at what, and we'll put the lighting as crummy. We'll do shitty lighting. Is that something?
Yeah.
And and it was really cool. I thought it was pretty cool. And but would you consider like Martin Luther? He didn't really put it on the wall. He did like a piece of paper.
Yeah. Well, that's also like there's so many different kinds of graffiti in that way where sometimes it's like carvings and sometimes it's on paper. It doesn't necessarily have to be on a wall. It can be on a thing that can be transported. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's it's really intriguing. And I actually, when I graduated undergrad, I thought I was going to go into academics, and I applied for a Fulbright grant to study and photograph graffiti art in Finland.
Okay.
Which I got. And then at the last minute, some of the funding fell through.
Shut up.
It was wild. I like graduated and I was like, I'm moving to Helsinki.
Yeah.
And the reason I wanted to go there specifically is the government had started opening up a bunch of free wall space for people to paint. And I was like, what does that do to this art form where it's free and it's government approved, when so much of this art form is like your nephew is about like painting on somewhere that's uncommissioned and doing what, you know, it's sort of an act of rebellion. It's sort of a fight against the man.
Yeah.
It's really intriguing in that way. There's this whole part of the culture that's like about one-upping each other and like rivalries, tagging different like trains and places around the city and making your name known. And then there's like commissioned government approved walls, you know?
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. Like, I want you kind of join the army, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so two questions popped up. First of all, putting like carving, when you said carving things, and I thought of cave things, I also thought of trees where people put their initials and little love signs.
Yeah.
And then in country music songs, they like to go back and look at that tree and go, this is where my grandpa and grandma met, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's real too, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's awesome, because that's sort of what I'm doing in the show. Is I've taken all of this graffiti that I've been photographing for a decade. I just got really into specifically bathroom graffiti, because one time I saw someone write on a bathroom, they wrote, since writing on toilet walls is neither for critical acclaim nor financial reward, it is the purest form of art. Discuss. And then people
discuss.
And then people just like wrote shit underneath it. And, you know, like someone probably wrote, can't remember, someone wrote like, you're gay, or and someone drew a dick, and then other people participated in the conversation. But I was like, oh, that's so interesting that like that is specifically just a different kind of graffiti. It's not about rivalry or, you know, getting your name out there, or, you know, like, getting your stuff in museums. Yeah, it's just someone who's, you know, peeing and drawing something
for a good time.
For a good time, call
this lady or this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I don't know, because I also think in like with truck drivers, you would imagine they're the only ones seeing the same bathrooms.
Yeah.
Right. The rest of us just go in and go, well, I don't live here. I'm not actually looking for a good time.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to pee. And then I have 1900 questions for you, Caitlin Cook.
Amazing.
Okay. One of them is, do you think like Eddie Pepitone once brought, and he's done it probably many times, but he brought all of his tweets.
Yes.
He printed all of his fucking tweets and it felt like graffiti.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the heyday of Twitter really felt like bathroom writing.
There's a very similar vibe. And sometimes people will comment this on my videos, because all I'm posting about is the show. And in the show, I take all of the graffiti that I've been photographing forever and I turn them into song lyrics. Oh, that's what reminded me of the country lyric thing that you're talking about.
Okay.
In country songs. Yeah. But like, so I have in the show, I have a projector behind me, and as I'm singing, the lyrics, the images are going along with me and they become the lyrics of the song. Yeah. So I have like a guitar, sometimes a piano in this show, and it's literally set in a dive bar bathroom. There's a toilet on stage. I treat the audience like we're women bonding in a bathroom.
Nice.
Though anyone of any gender is welcome to come.
Everyone, please do come. And tickets are available probably through thecaitlincook.com.
Yes, exactly. They're right there. So I turn them all into lyrics, and the graffiti is projected behind me. And I post videos of this on Reels and TikTok and stuff. And people comment all the time, like, oh, this is the original message board. Like, this is the original Twitter. This is the original Reddit, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And we're all looking for the new Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Twitter, quite honestly, I loved it. What in its heyday, I made fun of it. Didn't know what it was till it was gone. You guys didn't.
Yep.
Didn't appreciate it till Ding Dong took over, and quite honestly ruined it. And
yeah, it's X now. Like, what is this?
Well, did you hear that he can't register it on Apple apps? Because
I didn't hear this.
It has to be two letters.
Hilarious.
So he can't, it can't be an app. And you're like, well, you're a douche. I literally, I would like you to enema yourself off of this goddamn planet. I really like Twitter there in the end. Yeah. And I didn't know what I had, but maybe I'll go back to bathrooms.
There you go.
Did you find, did you find anything profound? Like, have you found things that are mm-hmm. kind of like, because there's amazing stuff that people just write like 2-3 sentences.
Yeah. So the show, I like, because I've been photographing graffiti for so long, I originally just wrote one song and it was like, I started performing it at places that like had a projector and I ended up like trying to figure out how to like play guitar and make the slides change at the same time. So I got this foot pedal that's like made for violinists and orchestral musicians who are trying to turn Ooh. Pages and sheet music. And I'm yeah, using yeah. it to tell dick jokes, but yeah, it is what it is. But I wrote that song and it got such a great response that I was like, I could write so many more of these because I have a whole folder of all of these pictures. And then right. I was like, but how do I make it different? So I ended up grouping them. And I have like one song that's like men's stalls versus women's stalls. And I have one song that's called Conversations with Strangers. That's people replying to each other. Okay. And I have one song that's like the really beautiful, profound, sad shit that people have written. And it's gorgeous. Like the beautiful poetry that people write is, it's incredible. Real. And it's really moving. And there's like, there's, without revealing too much about the show, there's like a moment where I talk about like, you know, sometimes you go to a bathroom because you have social anxiety at a house party or you like need to cry or just be somewhere alone for a second. And I've had such profound moments where I've like disappeared to go hide in a bathroom stall and found some beautiful piece of graffiti that just like made me get out of my own head and think about who was that person that wrote that and what was their story. And like,
right.
And it just like put me in a better mood. So yeah,
that's,
I build that
huge.
Out on the show.
Mm-hmm. Here's my question. I have hidden in bathrooms. It's hard to do it at a house party because there's usually one bathroom.
There's
a line. But, and also, is there graffiti in somebody's house party or are you looking at the stuff that they have like to read?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of house you're going to. I feel like there are some like cool, edgy lofts in like Bushwick that have graffiti all over the walls.
Right. You're in New York where people
New
are,
York.
It feels like people are squatting.
Yes.
And they're just ready to trash there. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But now that I've been doing this material for so long, I have people that like when I come to do the clubs or shows in their city, they'll message me bathrooms or like dive bars that I should go to.
Oh, cool.
To go check out the graffiti. And people message me like, I used to play this game where, you know, when someone sends you a picture and they're not your friend yet on Instagram,
yes.
The picture is blurred and you have to like consent to seeing it.
Yes.
So I used to play this game that was like, is it a dick pic or is it an right. illustrated dick? You know, is it bathroom yeah. graffiti? And now like 99.9% of the time it's someone sending me bathroom graffiti. It's great. I love it when people do that. Yeah.
That's awesome. And it's at the Caitlin Cook. So there you go.
Yes.
There you go. Your favorite. Try to keep it nice. Try not to make it too weird. Don't. And granted, Rangers of the Dork Forest they're not gross. So they are gross alone. Like
they're
I
gross alone.
We have so much in common, me and my own fans. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's really the way it ought to be. And so like I was in Romania and there was, I have it on my phone, the most amazing graffiti I think I've ever seen.
Cool.
That I didn't get a picture of. Amy and we were doing we were driving to the base, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like one of those Armed Forces Entertainment gigs. And one of the other comics got the picture, but I too saw it. You know when you don't get the picture and you're like, no, I saw it too though.
Yeah.
And so you're like, when it gets emailed to you, you're like, no, I deserve to own this picture as well.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing, it's this girl or woman with her hands flat on top of a stack of books.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is gorgeous. And then someone has tagged it over in the corner And I don't know if it's the artist or if it's someone else just sort of adding to it, but it isn't bad. You know, yeah. I'm sure that it might've been a commission. Like it might've been the side of the library for all I know.
Yeah.
But, cool. But whoever tagged it, I was like, I don't mind it. You know, when somebody adds something to something else here in Los Angeles, whenever there's graffiti on our, we have like a cement wall and a garage and then another cement wall, right? It's sort of, we have our own tiny gated community of 100 square feet, you guys. Lovely. The garden is gated. And but sometimes we live right by a high school. So I don't know if you know this about children, but they're bored.
Yes.
And so when they just tag it, I do call the police in LA will come by and they'll just cover it up with gray paint.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Unless if it would have been when we first moved in, it was tagged. And I kind of wish we had kept this one because it was hilarious. It was our first Christmas here. And someone had tagged it Lil Grinch. And I was like, oh, where is Lil Grinch?
Where is Lil Grinch now?
Lil Grinch is probably Big Grinch because we've lived here almost 20 years.
Well, there you
go. So he is now middle-aged Grinch. And
that's great. Yeah, I've like had this TV show idea about kind of like high maintenance where it's like episodic, where you just take one piece of graffiti and you follow that person for that day of like, why did they write that? What was their story? What were they doing? Did they get caught? Like, I'm just so curious about, yeah, who are these people?
Right. That's the cool thing. I knew an artist in Minneapolis who used to do sort of street art or whatever he called it. And there was a guy, actually a friend of mine, her brother was an artist and he did city sign art.
Cool.
Where he would take like a sign that, you know, the street signs, like no parking or whatever.
Yeah.
And he would duplicate that and then put it up. And sometimes it's really cool. You know, like he did one that was just like, I don't know, be kind, rewind. This was the 90s, you guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he did another one that was keep left. And then and then he literally bolts it to a pole. So it blends in. Bad thing about that, that was on the street. That actually felt unsafe.
Yes.
But I will say this. When I first moved to Los Angeles, the highways in Los Angeles are sometimes poorly labeled. Like you have to know, when I first moved here, the 10 East, I think it was just labeled San Bernardino Freeway. And you're like, I don't know where that, what does that mean? Does that mean, is that East? Is that West? Is that North? Yeah. What is San Bernardino? And there was a street artist who made a giant sign that went next to it that looked just like it, that was two specs that he climbed up on an overpass and bolted it to the thing and took almost a year for the city to recognize that it was there. And there was an article in the LA Times about how they decided to keep it because it was it was clarifying.
What did it say? Just it like 10 East?
10 East.
That's so funny. I love the idea of some street artist just being like, this is confusing. I hate this. I'm going to fix it.
Yes. So, I mean, it's citizenry at work to some extent, right?
Yeah. That's so funny. I love street sign art like that. Like, I feel like we've all seen a stop sign that someone has written like in the name of love or like, you know, something like that.
Or just war. Stop war.
Yeah.
One time in my neighborhood, there was someone stole the stop sign at one of the intersections of my neighborhood and also the pole, which was gutsy stuff, but had left, you know, obviously had left the stop that is painted on the cement. So I called 311, which is sort of like 911, but less urgent.
Yeah.
So I called 311 and I said, hey, does the city ever remove a stop sign but not paint over where it says stop? And she goes, what? No. Is the pole gone? I said, yeah, the pole is gone. She goes, please tell me the intersection. And then within like moments, the stop, it was back.
Good.
Like they fixed it real quick.
Yeah.
What are your favorite out in the... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, just, I was going to say, I definitely went through a phase of like stealing street signs and like, I feel like that's what, yeah, you're bored when you're in high school.
But high school, college.
Yes. But you never wanted to steal a stop sign because that felt like you could somehow cause an accident or something.
Right. Right. It felt dangerous. Yeah. And I stole one time, very drunk. I stole those blinking construction signs because it said Decker on it. And I have a friend named Elizabeth Decker.
Nice.
And so I also had, for some reason, the master key in my co-op, my dorm in college. Mm-hmm. And so she had already left for Christmas and I stole two of them and they were still blinking. Mm-hmm. And I put them in her dorm room, in her room, and I locked the door again. And then I just went. We all went to Christmas.
Yeah.
I came back. She never mentioned it. They were just gone. Right. She was the kind of person that if you did sort of if she thought it was funny to never mention the prank. And so you never got satisfaction.
But that's the point of the prank.
Right. I needed satisfaction. I was like,
yes.
Did you notice that there were two signs? I said, I literally had to ask her about it. She was like, yes. I put them back on the street, Jake. And I was like, well, you're a buzzkill.
Yeah, I would be like, cool, I'm never pranking you again.
Right. And she would have been like, good. That is ideal. And so, yeah. So is there favorite stuff that you've seen that isn't in the show? By the way, it's the Caitlin Cook and it's called The Writing on the Wall. And it's
on the
Broadway.
Stall.
On the Stall.
Yes.
It's writing on the Stall. There we go. On the Stall. And because it's all bathroom. Yes. It's all bathroom graffiti.
Yes.
And it's off Broadway, New York City. How yes. long is it running? Like now it's August of 2023.
Yes, it's the first 3 weeks of September at Soho Playhouse.
There you go.
So I'm running it there and then I'm touring it in October and November in like the Midwest and LA. And then I'm filming it in Wilmington, North Carolina in early December.
All right. Well, so people of Wilmington, go to the Caitlin Cook and let her know where the good bathroom stalls are.
Yes, please do. I do have like a lot of newer favorite ones that haven't made it into the show because people send them to me all the time and I'm always finding new stuff as well.
Right.
So there's like I'm still tinkering with the script a little bit. And so I'm trying to see what I'm going to slide in there. One of my favorites that made it into the first song I ever wrote is someone had written, they wrote, plant your own garden, decorate your own soul instead of waiting for someone to bring you flowers, which is a beautiful idea. And then underneath it, someone wrote, fuck off. People should bring you flowers.
It's all true. They're both true.
They're both true. Oh,
that's the great thing about bathroom stall graffiti. Mm-hmm. So are people writing in more than just like, because nobody who's carrying a Sharpie, probably the great artists, I suppose, the people who do it a lot.
I feel like it's usually Sharpie. Sometimes it's like a colored marker. Sometimes it's carved in there. And I'm like, who has the strength and energy and time for that?
Right. You are clearly having a bowel movement while you carve into the side of this.
And that's gross.
That is gross that you're just taking. You know how we've all found out how dirty our hands were during lockdown with the pandemic? I had never known. I had always assumed
and I didn't need to.
Well, they were vaguely dirty, but now I wash them so often now because I was trained to, because I washed, I mean, I'm not that clean, but I'm not a monster, but now I wash them much more regularly and much more thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And every single time they're filthy. And I'm like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
What am I touching? Yeah. I'm like, all I have is a glass. Here's my New York Subway.
Nice.
Pint glass for some reason.
Fantastic.
Very exciting. I'm going to New York to open for Maria next week and then DC and then Nashville to do a benefit for a cancer. It's against cancer. It's going to be against cancer. It's Gilda's Club, Nashville at Zany's.
Nice. Love that. Yeah. Love that club.
I don't. They don't book me. And there. That guy Bert has had up his ass. So he's gone now. But
yes, it's Lucy now.
It's Lucy now. I don't know anything about her.
She's
but,
great.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. And why would we say anything mean? Because that's we all continue to want to be
Lucy's great.
She's a delight. So, but one of the things I like about the about Nashville, and have you been?
Mm-hmm.
The built to scale replica of the Parthenon is in
Nashville. Have not been there. I need to go there. I've only really gone through Zany's when I was opening for Sean Patton. And then recently my best friend moved there. So I was there over New Year's and
Kathleen Madigan moved there too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm hoping to have lunch with her. I haven't told her. She's probably on the road doing some giant theater.
Always on the
being
road.
Carried off stage by adoring fans. And I don't know how she does it besides being very funny, but so are the rest of us. She's just really good at it. She's really,
really good at it. She's found her people. She's tapped into something.
She's done. She's nailed it. But here's my thing about the built to scale replica of the Parthenon in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Perfect place for graffiti. They would hate that because the thing it's only made. It's made of concrete. It's not like made of, and it's gray. It's weird.
Have people graffitied it? Is it like?
I don't know. I've only looked at the outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
I one time ran around the outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
When I taped my comedy on the road, I made a couple of the camera guys drive me by it, and then I ran outside of it so I could see it. And because I like the Parthenon, I was in Greece one time and I got to see the Parthenon. And
that's very cool.
It's cool. I also went to Delphi, and there was an oracle. Like there was a great little temple. And late at night, we climbed over a fence, me and three other 22-year-old dirtbags climbed over a fence that said, don't climb over this fence.
Yep.
And we had a bottle of wine and a candle. And I was there with a Mexican woman who was studying fashion in Florence.
Mm-hmm.
So the fanciest Mexican woman in the world who told me that there were no poor people in Mexico City. And I was like, I've never been to Mexico City, but I feel like you're lying.
Wrong.
Yeah. Are you staring at them like ants from a penthouse?
Yeah.
And then there was a Canadian guy and a guy from South Africa. So the four of us climbed over this fence and it was the South African guy or the Mexican woman it was her because she had the candle and she wanted to go on the altar and put a candle and she was moving rocks around. And I remembered something I was told in my Latin class in ninth grade about ruins. Mm-hmm. They're not construction sites. You're not supposed to move shit.
No, you're not.
And the Canadian guy was standing. He was like, we're also not supposed to be on the altar. There's a sign. And I think it was, she said, we're also not supposed to be inside this.
We're also not supposed to climb that fence.
We weren't supposed to climb that fence, but we got off the altar and had a lovely glass of wine or a bottle or whatever.
That sounds lovely.
It was nice, but there wasn't any graffiti on those either. I think that people are pretty respectful, I think, of ruins.
Yes. I feel like I've been to a decent amount of ruins and not seen a lot of graffiti.
Yeah.
They're like, this is old. Let's leave it this way.
Yeah. And like sort of like the big churches of the world, right? Like, like if you go to the Vatican, actually, if you went to the Vatican and tried to graffiti the Vatican, they would shut you down and you would never be seen again.
Yes.
I feel like they're very powerful.
I have a joke in the show that's like, and this one was just found at the Vatican. It was not. the graffiti says sodomy is good, actually.
You're never too old for butt stuff.
You're never too
me.
Old for butt stuff.
I was
or butt jokes.
Or butt jokes. Oh, that I think is so true. As I've watched too many older gentlemen tell jokes about they're prostrate. To be prostrate is to be fall over. Prostate is that whole it's something up your butt.
Mm-hmm.
And also, for some reason, there's a lot of jokes about when somebody has to stick a finger up there to find out if things are going south. So
yes, I immediately thought of Mulaney's joke about the you said going south.
What's Mulaney's joke?
He has a joke in New in Town where he talks about getting a prostate exam because he was trying. Oh, this is funny. He was trying to get Xanax. And so he went to the clinic to just be like, I get nervous on airplanes and I have to pee a lot. He needed a reason for the doctor's visit. And he said too high of a number of how many times he has to pee a day when he was lying. So he had to get a prostate exam. And so he went and got a prostate exam and he had never gotten one before. And I guess it feels like when the doctor takes his finger out, it feels like you're pooping because that's the only thing that's ever come out of your butt. And he thought he had like pooped in the doctor's hand. And so I just was remembering the way he tells the joke. It's like he pulls his finger out and he goes, I'm sorry. That's a great special.
That is a great special. All of his specials before this last one were super, super funny, but I always got the impression that he wasn't particularly like, I wouldn't want to hang out with him. Like, I'm sure he's a nice enough guy.
Yes.
But it's not like, I don't think that there was a lot there, but this last one, I was like, oh, look at this guy.
I know. I thought I was like, wow, what a great way, because we've all seen a lot of people get canceled and downfalls and people's images change. And I was like, he really handled that well, in this newer special.
He was a mess.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever a creep. I think he was an asshole sometimes, but not a creep.
Yeah.
I've been an asshole.
Kidding? We've all been assholes.
We've all been assholes. And you shouldn't get canceled for being an asshole. You should get called on it.
Yes.
And you should stop being an asshole.
Yes. Yeah. But he handled it so well, especially, just being really vulnerable on stage. And then I loved at the end, he was like, and if you think these stories are crazy, just remember, these are the ones I'm willing to tell you.
Right.
Excellent.
And it was, and more, I was like, I would hang out with that guy.
Yes.
That guy seems much more interesting and much more available emotionally.
Yes.
Though I would probably have lunch with the old guy just because he'd be funny.
Yeah.
But I'm not inviting him to the house, the old guy.
No, don't come over.
No, don't come over. I don't need it. I've weeded us off of graffiti.
Yes.
What was the first, the oldest graffiti you remember seeing? Like in grade school? Elementary school?
Yeah. I feel like it must have been in elementary school. But it's funny. I think I started taking pictures of them in like 2011 or 2012. Maybe earlier, but like that's sort of when like iPhones and things were really
cameras
popping
were
off.
Readily. Yeah.
And like Instagram was launched around then. And I started an Instagram where I was just posting a lot of bathroom. It was called Installgrams.
You're always writing. That's what I like about Caitlin Cook.
Okay. Yeah. But I remember one early on that is in the show, and it's dick butt. It's a dick that has a butt.
Oh,
and he's got a little face, and he made me laugh so much. And it just says dick butt underneath. And he appears in the show.
Okay. Is it because the thing is if I were to draw a picture of a dick that had a butt, I think I would make the urethra into the butthole. Mm. But are they putting a butt sort of in the testicles or in the staff?
You can't really see it from that angle. It's sort of like straight on and you see the balls and then the top of the butt.
Oh, it's just the curve of a butt. It's sort of the curve of a butt. It's just butt cheeks. It's not butthole.
It's not butthole. No.
I made it slightly dirtier. And how weird would that be? Is if you drew a penis and the urethra was the butthole?
Yes.
That'd be super confusing. Do we poop and pee come out of that hole? Anyway,
dick butt.
But I may have to doodle that right now.
Yes.
Talk amongst yourselves. What is I wonder about the other papers you wrote about graffiti and about art history. Yeah.
I wrote one long paper that was just about different kinds of graffiti in general. And then there was a large section on bathroom graffiti. And it was about like the shift of like the elites embracing graffiti as like something that they would want to put in galleries and museums and stuff, and how that changed
the
way people were looking at graffiti. And then
how are people looking at, I mean,
yeah, I mean,
people,
I think
everybody just thinks it's crime. Like I saw warriors come out and play. And there was so much graffiti on the subway system.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, the first time I went to New York was in, I don't know, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And it was gross. And there was a lot of graffiti, and Times Square was a cesspool. But like, I love people who are like, it was so much better before it was Disney-fied. And I was like, there is a happy medium between fearing for my life and having to, you know, see a Hello Kitty every 12 seconds.
There is a happy medium. And still, I think the answer is don't go to Times Square. I'm going there tonight. I'm going there tonight. Ugh, gonna be so annoying.
What's it? Are you doing a set?
I'm seeing Alex Edelman's show on Broadway.
Oh, okay. I remember that young man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm staying at a hotel at Times Square next week.
I'm so sorry for you.
I know. I understand. I've stayed there one other time when I did some show for Comedy Central.
Uh-huh.
And it had the greatest blackout curtains I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, that's
great. It was great. And when you opened it up at night, it was kind of a really cool neon, like it just went through you and obviously, you know, made me sterile. But like there was so much neon, it was kind of cool.
I think staying in a hotel in Times Square would actually be nice, because the problem with Times Square is how loud and dirty and like crowded it is. But if you have a space where you can have blackout curtains and be quiet and look at the view, like that's great. That's
gorgeous. That might be ideal. I remember the first time Andy, my husband, came to New York. First of all, he didn't think New York was real. He thought it was a set.
What?
I know. I was like, that sounds like a contrived statement. And he was like, yes, I know, but it really felt real to me that it wasn't real. I was like, are there really people who live in this city? I was like, well, not now. It's not. I mean, everyone who lives here now is not real. Yes. I mean, that seems to be, that's people who live in Manhattan seem to be caricatures.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
People that live in Manhattan. I remember when my friend Max, he lives around the corner from me now, but when he first moved here, I was going back to I was meeting him at his place, and he's now a dean of a school, but at the time he was just a public school teacher. And I met, and he gave me the address, and I was like, huh, I wonder how he found a place in Union Square. And I biked there, and there, it was a doorman building, and it was a penthouse, and the doors opened, and it was, windows all the way around and a view of the Empire State Building right there. And there was a Kandinsky on the wall. It was a four bedroom, three bathroom. And there were bowls of cocaine everywhere. And I was like, what's happening? And then it turns out that at the time he was dating the heiress to the Tyson Chicken Corporation. And he lived with her for a while until she cheated on him with Jonah Hill. Anyway.
Oh, there you go. And a bowl of cocaine. At one time he came back and she was literally sitting on top of a bowl of cocaine going, rubbing it all over herself.
Yep. And that's when
it's a terrible image. But I have to tell you that I once saw one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to talk about whatever it turns out. there's the guy who wrote The Road, Cormac McCarthy.
Yes.
He wrote a movie once based on one of his books, but he wrote the script and he doesn't know how to write scripts. He's dead now. That's fine. But he'll never learn now. And it was with Charlize Theron, who I freaking love.
Yes.
I mean, if you watch her in Fury Road and then you watch her in The Long Shot, which is that a Jonah Hill? I think it's a Jonah Hill movie.
I've never seen it.
It's a romantic comedy where she plays the Speaker of the House.
Interesting.
And I can't remember. I remember being super mad that she was in it, because whoever was playing opposite of her was Seth Rogen, not Jonah Hill.
Uh-oh.
I'm so sorry.
They're different people.
They are different people. I can't tell anyone apart. I look in the mirror and I don't know what I'm seeing. So Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill are different people.
Yes.
Seth Rogen is also just a goony looking, normal looking dude, right?
Yes.
And he is in a movie where he plays the love interest of Charlize Theron.
Interesting choice.
And I was infuriated. when I first heard about it, because I was like, did you just buy a trophy wife movie? And then I saw the movie and it was super funny.
Oh,
it was actually, because I love a romantic comedy. I am a simple woman of the people.
Yes.
I enjoy a romantic comedy.
Me too.
Right. And so Long Shot is actually kind of adorable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Worth
checking out. And but Charlize Theron was in this Cormac McCarthy movie. I'm surprised I did, but I hated it so bad. I didn't. And at one point she lands crotch, like leg spread against the she's having sex, I think. And he's behind her and her legs are spread and she's sort of like fucking a windshield. And that, it's such an interesting image. It doesn't
the director
need to really
had to make that choice.
The director made that choice. Yeah. Cormac McCarthy possibly made that choice in the script. Charlize Theron had to be physically able to do that. It was amazing. But I have to say that it's haunted me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't need to see. First of all, I don't need to know that I couldn't do it. But that's the image that came to mind when I heard that the Tyson chicken lady cheated. I thought she cheated with a bowl of cocaine, because that's how I would want to do cocaine.
I would rather cheat with a bowl of cocaine than with Jonah Hill, I think.
Right. Unless Jonah Hill is much more interesting than I can think of. And he might be. I can't picture him. I thought he was Seth Rogen. So it's a bad sign, Jonah. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, out of all those images, I think, I'd rather just go to a bathroom stall and look at dick butt.
Right. Look at dick butt. And right. So you said Kandinsky. That is an artist. I don't know anything about art. What is there now that they're putting graffiti into museums?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to those exhibits? Like, if there was an exhibit of such a thing, would you enjoy that?
I would enjoy that. Because I'd be curious, like, how they did it. Did they commission those pieces? Was it like, sometimes they've like carved out a chunk of a wall. How do you know who the artist was? What was the story? Like, how do you track that?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty interesting. I haven't seen any exhibitions happening recently, but I would like to see more. That I think that would be cool.
What?
The life of the street artist, the life of the graffiti artist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Banksy, I don't know any of, literally talk about not knowing imagery. I'm a wordsmith, Caitlin Cook.
Yes.
Clearly. That's going to be my excuse in this moment anyway, is the fact that, you know, who was the guy who did the AIDS? He drew, he just drew like a man, like it's sort of like a chalk outline.
Mm.
And he did, and he was, he did a lot before the quilt. He was, he did a lot of AIDS art.
Or he did the quilt.
Nah. You're like, Jackie, what are you thinking?
No, I do. Yeah, no, but I feel like I know. I must know this. Jasper. No, it's not Jasper Jones, is it?
It isn't. Keith Haring.
Oh, I don't know.
You might know these images.
Oh, yeah. Those look familiar. Yeah. Yeah.
So he did. He did all this art. And his name was Keith Haring. And he was a street artist and an AIDS activist.
Cool.
And he was essentially the first Banksy before Banksy. ACT UP was the group that he did the art for.
Mm-hmm.
And ACT UP was a proactive. They literally like locked arms and they did sit-ins, but they also did a lot of more proactive because AIDS was hidden for so long.
Yeah.
And so Keith Haring did a lot of great art. Like that.
Cool. ACT UP for life. Yeah.
Yeah. And what did Banksy start? What do you know about Banksy? I don't know. I get him mixed up with Keith Haring.
he's done really, a lot of stuff. He kind of is known for like when you were telling me about the girl on the books, I was sort of picturing it in his style. Like he does a lot of black and white stuff. He does a lot of stuff with like a little girl holding a red balloon. And some like chimpanzee stuff. It's just like a particular aesthetic, but he somehow, I think like I think we know his identity now, but there was like a whole thing where like he had an art agent, but no one else knew his identity. And that was sort of what intrigued people, that he was like selling art in this elite world. He's British, into this like elite British world.
Oh, so we and know who he is now.
I think it's never been officially confirmed, but we kind of do. Yes.
This guy.
Yes. Yeah. That guy.
Okay. Yeah. So this feels, it doesn't feel like graffiti to me because it feels realistic.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny.
Isn't that interesting?
It's like, yeah. What is that divide? Because he's a good artist, you know?
Right. Because he's chosen to do more realism than sort of outlines and balloon animal, you know, like balloon words and stuff. That then I don't think of it as graffiti. That's I'm a monster. Clearly,
I think that's so funny. There's so many people also that like they look at modern art and they're like, I could do that. Like I could do a Rothko. I could just paint a canvas bright red. You know, I could do Mondrian.
Okay.
Like there's this artist called Duchamp. He was part of the Dada movement, and all he did a lot of found art pieces. And so he like took a urinal and like turned it and wrote mutt on it. And was like, here's my piece. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of funny things about like art around that time and like modern art that people are like, well, that's not art. Like I could do that. But right. It's, you know, it's saying something, it's questioning like the definition of what art is. So, you know, in that way, you were sort of like commenting on that of like, I don't consider this graffiti because it's good art.
Right.
You know,
right.
So what is graffiti? You know?
Yeah. And it's so interesting because Andy is he studied fine art and graphic design in college.
Yeah.
And so one of our first museums that we ever went to was the, what's the one that spins? Guggenheim?
Yeah.
Okay. So as you go around the Guggenheim in New York, as you go up this ramp, it got more modern.
Cool.
And when we hit essentially someone, it was a canvas of a large black dot and it was near, it was off center. And I don't know whose art that was, but I said to Andy, now we've come here and this is where art can lose me.
Yeah.
Because why is this something? Mm-hmm. And why was this decision? Did the guy ever mention why he made that decision? And Andy said it was something called edge art or edge tension.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who drew that dot actually created edge tension or created the idea of and alerted us all to the fact that we have edge tension. Mm. I don't know who that artist was.
No.
But it was kind of fascinating. He helped me look at art. Like I'm a good sport, right?
Yeah.
I'll look at anything, and you want to tell me it's art? Sure.
Great.
That's great. I don't necessarily need to stay in the room when Andy Kaufman's on stage because I'm irritated.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean it isn't art or stand up or any of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Nick DiPaolo's comedy is not for me, but that doesn't mean it isn't stand up, and it doesn't mean that a lot of people don't enjoy it. So, I just did a podcast called Gutting the Sacred Cow with a guy named Kevin. Yes, he has a last name. Anyway, he's one of the younger guys. He's a New York guy.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me to do his podcast. And I was like, sure, I'll do whatever if I can do it. And it's over the internet. And he said the task was to pick a movie that everybody loves that you didn't like, that was sort of critically acclaimed or a blockbuster.
Yeah.
And what I didn't see was how that was a trap. Because that is a trap. That is, I get to listen to him yell at me for 2 hours about how I'm dumb because I didn't like The Godfather. And so I picked The Godfather, which of course is a sacred cow, right?
Yes.
That is, there is not a 40-year-old haircut in the world that doesn't love that movie. Dude.
I've never seen it.
And quite honestly, you're not missing much. It's a story. There's not a lot of arc to it. Mm-hmm. It's about bad people doing bad things and not being punished.
Yeah.
It's a reality show. It's better shot than that. And it's better acted than that. So it is beautifully shot.
Yeah.
And and it's been hacked so bad
that
at your age, you have seen The Simpsons. You've seen Futurama. You've seen, South Park.
Yeah.
You get it. You're going to be pulled out of the movie anyway.
Yeah.
The fact that these two guys were probably 30 or 35 years old and they loved it. I was like, that's it. That's interesting to me that you loved it.
Yeah.
I would like them to be on the Dork Forest to tell me about how much they loved it and why, because that's cool. I mean, I didn't say that they could.
Yes.
What the Dork Forest is about.
Funny. Yeah. Sacred cow.
Gutting the sacred cow. And, it was on last week, you guys. Rangers, you want to go listen to me go, I don't know, which is
interesting. That's the point of the podcast, though.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think I realized that. A classic as I just stumble through life trying not to get hit. Oh, anyway, so Caitlin Cook, we have about, we have about 10 minutes left, and I just want to know if there are favorite graffitis that you would suggest people look up or look for.
Not just there's like stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like places that are like super famous for graffiti, but there are definitely some like really awesome dive bars, and there are some like projects. They move around sometimes, but sometimes people will like get some like government approved wall or a wall in an area, and they'll write like a prompt on top of it. So I've definitely seen ones where people will write like, what are you afraid of? Or like, what do you bucket list? Like, what do you want to do before you die? Or,
okay.
And everyone, and there's like chalk, and maybe it's like a chalkboard thing, or there's, markers and people just write whatever.
Yeah.
To this prompt. And it's like a really beautiful communal sharing that's also, anonymous, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Anonymous. So I do love that. Yeah.
Yeah. The anonymous aspect of all of this is wonderful. And I think there's something that gets people to open up and share more. It's also very funny that when I post these videos of the songs with the graffiti, like there's an equal amount of comments of people being like, you didn't write these, so why are you taking credit for them? And then also people being like, you definitely just wrote these and photoshopped them.
Wow, all three things.
Either or. But
they
liked
them, they hated them, they thought that you're stealing them, or they thought that you are curated this or created it.
Oh my God. I just had a video hit. I think it's going to hit 5 million views today.
Ooh.
And it's like a little section of the song that's men's versus women's bathroom stall graffiti.
Why wouldn't that go 5 million? Why wouldn't it?
Yeah. And it's like the women are all like, girl, keep your head up. You go, girl. Like, leave him. Like, you're beautiful. Just so supportive. And all the men are just pictures of dicks. And I don't have any like opinion in it. I just say, here's the difference.
You're not, it's not a race.
I'm not saying one is better. I'm just simply saying, here's the difference. Right. And there are crazy conversations in my comment section of people being like, see, like, women are always lying to each other and men are funnier. Like, women are not funny. And I'm like, I'm so tired of that conversation. And then there's so many women that are like, God, men are so obsessed with their dicks. And I love how supportive we are. And like, and then there's so many other people that are like, that not in my bathroom. Like, the girls' bathrooms are like, it's just very funny. The things that people seem
that's so funny. I have a question about comments now.
Yes.
Do you ever delete comments?
I have in the past. I don't anymore. I turn off all my notifications now, and I don't.
Oh yeah. Oh my god.
Occasionally, I'll go through and like comment on, like, have a little conversation with someone that said something interesting or nice, or like asked about where I'm gonna be and shows and stuff. But back during the pandemic, I challenged myself to doing a song a day. And I posted them on TikTok. Reels wasn't a thing back then, but on, I guess, IGTV and YouTube. And I made it to 250 days of songs.
Holy smokes.
Before I got very burnt out. But around like 200, I posted a song that was about how all white babies are the ugliest babies. And then I included my own ugly white baby picture. And so it was like there for like 4 days, and people were either commenting like, this is hilarious, or they were commenting like, I was a cute baby, what are you talking about? Or there were people that were like, don't say that shit about babies, that's so rude, they're just innocent baby. But it was like a fairly tame comment section until, of course, someone posted it on Nazi Twitter.
Oh,
and
shit.
All of these Nazis came after me and were like, you're Jewish, so you're not white, you can't insult our race.
It was, oh my God,
insane. And they like sent me death threats. They tried to dox me. They tried to dox my mom. Someone like made a little profile of like,
So you just took that video down or
no, I was like, fuck you. Can't let the Nazis win about my stupid ugly white baby video.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I kept that up. But I did delete a lot of comments, during that time because I was just like, this is vile. Some of the stuff these
nobody
people are
needs,
saying
yeah
a lot of my followers are just like little young theater kids and I'm they don't have to read that,
they don't need to.
And then I also like ended up going back and deleting some comments that might like sort of more identify where I worked or you know where I lived and that kind of thing, just a little protection. But now I don't really touch comments anymore because
I delete the shit out of them.
Really?
I'm just like, yeah,
good for you.
I'm like, guess what? My page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, I like that. I just, I don't look at them very often.
Yeah. Don't do it. And but, it's 800 Pound Gorilla has cut up a couple of my sets and
nice. They're great.
They're great. And they, and so they do a nice job putting, different videos of different bits up. Mm-hmm. And so I can't control those comments.
Oh no.
So, I do respond to some of the meaner ones and just go, hope get it together. This seems arbitrary. I mean, I know why I'm here. It's me. But why are you posting?
Why are you here?
Right. Why are you
so cruel sometimes? And then you like you just have to be like, hey, I'm a person. And then they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Right, right. Yeah. I too am alive. I, by the way, was the I have several very cute baby pictures. One where I look like a doll.
Oh my God.
And one where I look like I'm in a pillowcase because my mother, who passed away when I was 7, she never did laundry. She just bought new clothes.
Hilarious.
So she was a mess. But God love her. Hope she's happy as a clam up in heaven. Anyway, but the so there's a picture of me like wearing what looks to be a baby wedding dress. And then there's me in what looks to be a very, very fancy pillowcase. So that may not, I might not be a pillowcase, but, but I was a pretty good looking baby. But yeah, there's babies are not always good looking. They look like babies.
Especially when they first come out, it takes a while for their head to shape itself and they just look like little deformed potatoes. Babies are gross.
Babies can be gross, you guys. but draw something nice about them. I'm going to work on my urethra dick butthole cartoon.
Wonderful.
Look forward to it. This is coming out Tuesday. Caitlin Cook has an off-Broadway show the first 3 weeks of August, correct?
September.
Oh, September. We're in August. August 8th. So the first 3 weeks of September, off-Broadway at the which theater?
The Soho Playhouse.
There you go. And the Caitlin Cook. .com and at the Caitlin Cook. Thank you so much for
thank
doing
you for
the
having
show.
Me. This was so fun.
It was really fun. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hiya, doll. How was the show?
Well,
my hand is enormous. I am bagging. So tired. It was a kind of a delight. It was not even kind of a delight. Congratulations, Caitlin Cook. You made me care about bathroom graffiti.
Bathroom graffiti.
Yeah, she has a show called The Writing on the Stall.
That's very funny.
Why isn't she the father of three? But it's off Broadway. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in New York.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
Like a musical?
Yes.
Really?
Off-Broadway musical that she's written. She takes all the things that people have written.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the Caitlin Cook Okay. As her YouTube and everything were, and her reels and all this stuff, and you could go watch her do her thing.
That's kind of awesome.
It is kind of awesome.
And she makes songs.
She makes songs from the graffiti that she has seen in bathrooms.
That's amazing.
She has like a master's degree and a PhD and like an art history and all these things, but she's a comic and using her powers for good. And I did draw a penis.
You did. And I looked at it and I said, are you drawing a penis? There it is.
I did.
It's right here. Somewhere. And I said, is this what you think of me?
I should actually give you your own mic at some point during these phone bonuses. I know. But we have the Focusrite that'll allow that technology.
It's true.
Patrick Brady might appreciate that.
He might.
But I have this to say, she didn't know who Keith What's-His-Face from ACT UP was. Wasn't he a graffiti guy?
Keith Haring?
Yeah. Didn't that feel like graffiti?
I don't think so.
Was that commissioned?
Yeah, I think all of that was art.
Was art?
On canvas and and in metal.
And t-shirts.
And
and protest signs.
Right.
And, hey, get your shit together. Banksy, we talked about Banksy.
Yeah,
I guess they know who Banksy is now.
Yeah, I think people know who Banksy is now.
Right.
I don't know who Banksy is.
I don't know who Banksy
is. I never met him.
Right. But did you know that Banksy's art is kind of like realistic? It doesn't look like graffiti?
Yeah.
Like it looks, you recognize a lady with a balloon.
Yeah. You recognize
a gentleman waving at a thing.
Right. It's not super stylized.
Right. I told her the story of when you told me about Edge Tension.
Oh, right.
You explained. I couldn't remember who had done the Edge Tension.
That was the black dot.
As we went up the Guggenheim.
Kandinsky?
Was it Kandinsky?
I think so.
Because she mentioned Kandinsky.
I think it was Kandinsky.
It must have triggered in my brain because she knew a guy who was a comic who was going out with the Tyson Chicken lady, heir to the Tyson Chicken fortune. And she had a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom apartment in Manhattan with bowls of cocaine and a Kandinsky on the wall. Kandinsky. So what I'm saying is that this thing was full of just all kinds of, there was gossip.
Wow, yeah. Chicken. Which you love.
Right. There was talk of chicken. The Tyson chicken. So my chicken of choice.
True.
I like a Mary's. Anyway, but she was talking about the origin of graffiti. It's a really great episode.
It sounds great.
This is the end of that episode. So I just wanted to tell you about it. And then, because that's where the bonus is now.
That's right. At the end.
Right. You're a bonus. I wonder what will happen the next time you're on the Dork Forest. And then we do a bonus.
We'll have to do a bonus with someone else.
Well, we just keep talking.
And now we're in the bonus episode of the bonus episode.
So cave paintings are graffiti. And also when people draw on the trees, JK plus AA with a heart.
Yep.
That's graffiti. It's tree graffiti.
What separates graffiti from regular art if cave paintings can be graffiti?
She has written papers.
Oh. All right, then. She would know.
Well, actually, it's arbitrary and nobody picks. Anyway,
all right.
I just wanted to say this has been great talking to you about this episode of the Dork Forest because I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed talking to you.
There we go. We did it.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?